Lorna Blumen joins us to talk about bullying. Good morning, Lorna.
Morning, Bob.
Your book is called The Bullying Epidemic, and you focus on what adults do to encourage bullying.
Yes, inadvertently, adults are the major cause of children's bullying, and it's the exact opposite of what we mean to be doing.
How does that happen?
Well, adults contribute to children's bullying in three big ways, and it's mostly about the level of bullying that adults do in our own lives. Adults cause, teach, and enable bullying by using ourselves as bad examples, mostly.
So you mean we're not too nice to the kids?
Well, that's one aspect of it. It's also about the way adults bully adults in workplace bullying, road rage, reality shows. Indeed, the second aspect of it is how adults bully kids, sometimes very well-meaning. For example, Hockey Parents Gone Wild, where adults are really trying to teach kids a valuable lesson, but they're doing it the wrong way. And then the last part, which I think is really only about 10%, when children bully one another, adults look the other way. We don't intervene early enough, and we wait until there's a major crisis. And by then, it's often too hard to turn it back.
Yeah, I can't disagree with what you're saying, but this sounds like it's going to be hard to fix.
It's one of those things that's simple but not easy. It really does take adults retuning our eyes and ears to intervene earlier in the process. Bullying is both very simple and impossibly complex. If you intervene at the earliest signs, if you catch the building blocks, bullying prevention is so simple. And that's my main message. Everyday adults can really make a profound difference in reducing the level of children's bullying, but we need to do it by reducing first the levels of adult bullying. We need to be more aware of the behavior that we're putting out there.
Some of the adults of whom you speak, do they make the argument to you, well, look, I mean, this isn't good, but it's a tough world out there. That's why I'm tough, and if my kids are tough, that's the way they'll survive.
Well, that's true. I've heard parents say to me, why should my child be nice to someone else? Wait till she gets out there in the real world. But I think if we work now to incline kids on a different path, a path where kids are grounded in respect for self and for one another, really our adult workplace will be different by the time our kids get there. So adults really need to be sensitive. We are right now giving the message, do as I say, not as I do. We say no bullying, but our everyday actions say that bullying is accepted and acceptable.
Mm. Why are you interested in this? What is your background?
Well, my background is really as a human being, as a parent, as an educator. I started doing this 18 years ago when my daughter was really small, and at that time I sat on the board of directors of a community development agency, and I began to think, why do we always wait until the problems are big and the kids are big? Why don't we start when the problems are small and the children are small? So we started way back then, and we began to realize how underlying bullying is a lack of respect. And this is the key solution to bullying, lack of respect for yourself, lack of respect for others. So eventually we decided, why don't we try and keep kids grounded in respect at an earlier age? And that's where our Girls Respect Groups program came about, which is a program for middle school girls led by high school girls, and it's used in North America and 30 countries. But it is this opportunity for older kids to help younger kids, for older adults to help teens, that really can reset the tone of respect and put kids on a completely different path where most bullying is eliminated and the mistakes that we make are easily correctable.
Sounds good. Aretha Franklin sang about it. What is respect?
Respect. Respect is being able to treat people the way that you would really like to be treated, and it is about having respect for oneself first and foremost. It is about believing that I am a good person and entitled to respect myself and respect from others just because I'm a human being. I don't need to do anything different. I am okay just the way I am. And when you are settled in respect for yourself, kids who are respectful of themselves don't go chasing after frenemies for friends, making those fake friends. And kids who are grounded in respect for themselves won't stand by and watch other people bully someone else. So it really works both ways. But it is really a process. Respect for yourself is built through confidence and competence and having lots of opportunities to build both in children over time. It's true for adults, too.
Mona Blumen, our guest, her book called The Bullying Epidemic. I mean, assuming you think it's worse now, why would it be worse now? It seems to me all these factors have been at play for a long time in human families.
Absolutely. In fact, my grandmother, who lived to be 102 and was a school teacher, talked about being bullied as a child and then growing up to have bullies in her classroom and how she dealt with that. There is a certain amount of human aggression that's hardwired in. And in fact, a lot of that is really good. It gives us our best competitive drives to be better, to practice, to persevere, to triumph. And those are fantastic instincts that we really don't want to get rid of. But I'll tell you, in the past decade, I think we have done a lot to lose self-control, to glorify belligerent bullies. Look at reality TV. I mean, if you look at Donald Trump standing there bellowing at people, you're fired. As a parent, I look at that and I say, I sure don't want my child working for a Donald Trump. And you and I have enough life experience to go, wow, that would be very unpleasant to work for a Donald Trump. But our children don't know any better. And they look at that without enough life and work experience to discern, and what they think is, oh, this is what it's like to be an adult. So we are inadvertently teaching our children to accept being bullied at work and in every other environment and to aspire to become bullies because that's how you get to be the boss. I think that's a dangerous message.
And let me ask you about this. It seems to me there's a certain amount of institutionalized bullying or institutionalized cruelty. For example, to get into a gang or to get into a fraternity or a sorority or even to come to a new job, the new person often gets bullied or you know, they do bad things to that person. But then once you're accepted, hey, you're okay.
I think those are really, I think you've highlighted a number of areas where we're doing a terrible job. Grade 9 students, if the new year in school is grade 9, there's a whole term for that. That's called ninering. Kids get their pants pulled down. They get food thrown on them in the cafeteria. It is wrong. Just because we've been doing it for a while doesn't make it right. It will take time. It is like turning a ship. It doesn't turn quickly. But I think if we look with fresh eyes at the price that kids are paying for being treated this way, the dehumanizing way. And believe me, even though my main focus is children's bullying, every word I say applies to adult bullying. The cost of workplace bullying is staggering. It's staggering.
Mm. Well, I must say, this would be an odd thing for me to bring up, or you're probably not familiar with the case, but we had a case in this area down in Schenectady where a man was tried and convicted basically of bullying his employees. He was an official of the local school department, and he kind of harassed them, and it was so alleged, but he eventually was convicted. He's appealing. He went so far as to put small explosive devices at their homes, you know, never hurt anybody physically, I don't believe, but, you know, just scared them. So that kind of stuff goes on in the workplace.
It's disgraceful, to be perfectly honest. And I hate to say this, but I can tell you even worse stories, okay? It's really disgraceful. There are many times in life that we know we have the ability to hurt someone else or to do something bad, but we also need to then have the self-control to say, but I would never do that, okay? For example, I'm sure you're familiar with the Tyler Clementi story, who was a freshman at Rutgers a year and a half ago, I guess, and he was videotaped having sex in his own room with a webcam by his roommate, and it was streamed online. And he was so distraught about being outed online that he committed suicide off the GW Bridge. At the end of September, he literally did not make it past the first month of his freshman year. I got to tell you, there's a lot of times in life that you can say, I know how to videotape my roommate having sex, and I know how to post it online, but your next thought has to be, but I would never do that because it is the wrong thing and would hurt someone. Anger is normal. Troublemaking is normal. It's about being able to have the self-discipline and self-control to set boundaries on your behavior.
Lorna Blumen's book is Bullying Epidemic, Not Just Child's Play. Tell us a little bit about how you're getting the message out.
Well, we have, in addition to the book, which is obviously available, we have a blog by the same name, bullyingepidemic.com, where we have lots of stories that people post, we post. There are lots of free resources on it. We also have our Girls Respect Groups website. Girls in Groups is plural, girlsrespectgroups.com, and there's a book that we wrote about the program. The program was developed by real teenagers. In fact, my two co-authors on the book were high school students. They were fantastic examples of what everyday kids can do. We have lots of free resources for, so encourage your listeners to go to any of our websites and see what's there for them.
Lorna Blumen, thanks very much for joining us, and have a good day.
My pleasure, Bob. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Light FM 104.7.